哦，这个。对，Vi sälj det bär var. Ja, vi ska
The right is a
Hey David, how's it going?
Pretty good. How are you?
Good. Thank God. Doing okay.
I wanted to ask you, there was a site you used, I don't remember, it was last session or two sessions ago. It wasn't Safari, it wasn't Hebrew Books.
Let's see. What did I use?
It was something which had like color coding, the Gemara.
Oh, Merkava.
Oh, Merkava. Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I used it a couple of times ago. It's a pretty good site, but it's not. It is very good for learning the Gemara for the first time.
Okay.
That's really good because it colors it and then tells you, you know, has like its own code. That's pretty good. But I think it doesn't have any help for Rashi or Tosfos. But it's good. It's okay. Pretty good. Actually, today I was looking at a new website also, Al Hatzora.
Okay.
Which doesn't preserve like the Tzuras Hadat at all, but it has like a ton of commentaries like right there on the screen. So we'll have like the Gemara on top or the Pesukim on top or the Mishnah, and then like every commentary they have on the bottom. It's really, it seems, I don't know, it was an exhaustive list, but it was like a pretty robust list of commentaries. Looking up Gemara, right, we had like the Meiri on the page, the Rashba on the page. I was kind of impressed. And it looked very easy to navigate also.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. So I've been experimenting with that program a little bit to see how it goes. I guess when people come, more people will come. We could start already. So today I wanted to again teach something specifically from Gemara, and also highlight a new technique for our children. Some rabbeim teach this, some teachers teach this, and some do not. But it is an important technique, and either regardless, and that is underlining. You know, and some people like are very careful to have their Gemara or their Chumash remain pristine and their furious notes on a notebook or a computer. But other people like recognize that the Gemara itself is a book of notes. And you know, if you can add on your layer of notes onto the Gemara, then why not? And you know, we realize that Rabbi Akiva Eiger is adding on his commentary as another layer. So our children should recognize that, you know, their Gemara is their own. And at first they might feel like they don't have the confidence to underline. But I think with training, especially when it comes to Rashi, I'm going to try to give an example of that today. They'll figure out what it is that they're supposed to underline. So on that note, I'm going to also teach another online tool today, which I just found, which is really cool for underlining. So we'll get to that in a moment, but I'll just open it up. What do you think first are the reasons that one might underline something that they're learning?
I imagine you're like wanting to underline. Can you hear me, by the way?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. All right. Underline like the question or underline a specific part to highlight, like this is what we're discussing. Kind of like I'm thinking the way Merkava does things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've seen like lots of Gemaras with, you know, different colors, you know, highlighters in the Gemaras. I don't think their highlighters are so good because you can see it through the on the other side. Okay. You know, the Gemara pages are not so thick. So I would move away from that. But yeah, I think that's a very good way to, you know, have a visual code. David and I were just talking about that before you came on, you know, a visual code to see the Shaka Tai of the Gemara. But what I want to focus on more is underlining comments of Rashi. And, you know, this is kind of like every person needs to come to it in their own right of how much to underline and how much not to underline. Just a couple of stories to illustrate this point. I remember one of my chavrusas in Eretz Yisrael. I was learning there the first year, and he was such a ferocious underliner. And there was one, you know, one particular comment of the Rush that I thought we had learned the whole piece, and there was like one line that we couldn't figure it out. So we had gone to our Rebbe, Rabbi Silver, to ask him for help, and my chavrusa kind of, you know, plopped down his sefer and said, "Rebbe, we need help with this rush." So Rabbi Silver looked down. He said, "Okay, which line?" And my chavrusa said, "The underlined one." And Rabbi Silver said, "The whole rush is underlined," and that's true. The entire comment was underlined. And you might think like, no, then you defeat the purpose of the underline. It just says that, you know, you once walked here, right? Right? You know, Menachem Rosenbaum was once here. Like that's not the point of underlining. So that's comment number one. Comment number two is that I used to underline and take notes in pencil. And I encouraged note taking in pencil in the Gemara. And for obvious reasons, right? And then I got to YU and I saw that Rabbi Yaakov Roblowski. David, you know Yaakov Roblowski? I feel like he's your age. So Yaakov Roblowski was taking notes in his Gemara, underlining in pen. And I said to him, how could you underline in pen? And he looked at me and my Gemara and he says, how could you underline in pencil? And I realized he was right. He was right. And at first we don't expect our children to have the confidence to know, like, this should stay underlined for all eternity. But eventually with practice, with a certain feel of what to look for, they could have that confidence to underline. And I think underlining is a skill that should be taught, really should be taught. That said, before we get to the sugya, I do want to note that one of my chavrusas, Rabbi Reuven Brand, the Wire Tournament in Kollel, refuses to underline anything. And he says with a kind of like a humility, like, who am I to know which line to underline? Which is like an audacious thing for us to figure. Brand thinks doesn't know which line to underline. But that's really the way he feels. But so I guess, you know, it's a contentious skill, but I do think it's one that should be taught. So without Gabe, you want to say something?
It's like doing the crossword puzzle in paper, in pencil or pen. You know, that you have to get to the level where you can do it confidence, where you can do it in pen.
Right. That's exactly right. Okay. So let me just pull up the screen and then we'll take a look at the schema together. If this is going to work, let's see. Screen share. Start broadcast. Let's see. Okay, so this is Hebrew Books, right? Hebrewbooks.org, and this is a Gemara in Shabbos on Gimel Amud Beis, which is one of the main Gemaras that introduces the 39 Malachos. We're going to look at one Malach in particular. So what I'm going to do is, in order to highlight this skill that is underlining, I'm going to get exactly centered as I want. I'm going to take a screenshot of the page and then pull it up on the screenshot manipulator of the tablet I'm using. And this is a really great feature for us. You know, I've just learned how to use this really, and I'm just kind of learning how to use it well. So here we go. Let's just start the Gemara. So we're going to start here with this line that starts with the word mechti. And, you know, putting an underline on it, right? That's where we're up to. Let's get rid of those ugly underlines. And so the Gemara has quoting our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, on the third line, Hazareya v'Hachoresh. Two of the Malachos, the first two on the list, planting seed is Zareya, and Choresh is plowing. So the Gemara says, wait a second, there's an obvious problem here. Sequence, mechti, let's analyze this Gemara. Mechti is a key word. Our children should know that mechti means let's analyze, and it's always a setup for a question. So here's the question. Mechti, mechav karbi beresha. Mechav karbi, which means plowing in Aramaic. Plowing comes first. So litzni choresh, v'hadar litzni zareya. That's the question. Let it teach first choresh, which is the malacha of plowing, V'hadar litni zareya, and subsequent to that, let it teach planting, right? Sequentially, first you plow, you create the furrows in the ground for the seeds to go in, and then you put the seeds in. So that's the question the Gemara asks. So the Gemara answers, Tana be'eretz Yisrael koi. The author of this Mishnah is standing in Israel. Koi, standing in Israel. Okay. And in Israel, tizar ibereisha v'hadar karbi. You plant first, and after you plant, you plow. Okay, so it's a troubling answer, because why in the world are they plowing after they plant? And so we want to try to figure out why that would be the case. I don't know why I'm drawing in the middle of my Gemara. But there's something about Eretz Yisrael, and so the sequence of our Mishnah makes sense if you were living in Eretz Yisrael. So let's see what Rashi says. So here's our first cool technique that I just learned, that there's a ruler on this app. So here's the file of the ruler. So we're up to right here, this Rashi, on the bottom of the Y line to the top of the page. Bet Aleph Yud stands for Be'eretz Yisrael, right? Our Gemara answered. That Tana Be'eretz Yisrael. Tana, the speaker of our Mishnah, is an Eretz Yisrael. So Rashi says, Be'eretz Yisrael Kashi. The land, the earth, is hard. Ve'en yachol l'chasos. You're unable to cover the seeds below Harisha without plowing. Next line. Va'ashme'inan. And the Mishnah is teaching us Deha nami Harisha hi, that this is also Harisha. That is a key phrase. Deha nami Harisha hi, this is also Choresh. Meaning the Mishnah could have taught Choresh and then Zareya, plowing and then planting seeds, because that is truthfully what happens in Eretz Yisrael. First there's plowing, then there's planting seeds. Except in Eretz Yisrael, there's a second Harisha, a second plowing, because the ground is too hard to cover the seeds, so they actually have to do a second plowing in Israel. And our Mishnah specifically teaches the second plowing. Now, I could have said, without Rashi, I might have said, okay, there's a plowing that comes after planting in Israel. So it's actually planting and then plowing, and then eventually you get, there's going to be coats there, the next malacha. But Rashi's telling us that no, it's not like there were two chorishas and, you know, two options for chorish, and the Mishnah just happened to choose the second one instead of the first one. There's a reason. There's a reason why the Mishnah chose to teach the second chorish. And it's this line in Rashi where he's explaining that there's actually a logical reason. There's actually something that's being taught to us, and it's the key word ba'ashmina. So I'm going to take my pen here. I'm going to make it super dark, and I'm going to use the ruler feature, which is already here, and I'm going to underline this line. And that's the key line. Va'ashme'inan, the Mishnah is teaching us. That's a very important word, ashme'inan. I mean, literally, it means va'ashme'inan, and it's having us here. But our students should be taught that, our children should be taught, ashme'inan means, this is the chiddush. The chiddush of the Mishnah is that the choresh that we're talking about is specifically the second one, to tell us that this is Harisha. So what turns out, when we first read the Gemara, sounds just like a sociological feature of the planting in Israel, that is a plowing that comes after the seeds. But now we're telling us, no, Rashi is telling us, Ashmeina, there's something being taught here, that this is also Harisha. Meaning, what would I have thought? And here's what Rashi is really telling us. What would I have thought? I would have thought that Harish is defined by creating a hole so that a seed can go in. That's the definition of Harish. And if that were the definition of Harish, then the second Harisha, after you put the seeds in the ground, would not be Harish at all. Because I've already put the seeds in the ground. If Harish is prepping the ground for seeds to be put in, then the second Harish is not Harish. But what Rashi is telling us is that's not the definition of Harish. The definition is something else. Has Rashi said what the definition is? No. Rashi just told us that our Mishnah is informing us that this is also Choresh. This is also Choresh. I kind of want to stop the screen share for a moment. I want to hear your voices. I want to make sure I can get back to this page afterwards. What do we think about this so far? What are your thoughts on this underlining and how there's kind of a little bit of a mystery here, right? I would have thought Choresh is opening the ground to put seeds in, and then the second Choresh would not be Choresh. But Rashi is telling us that's exactly the Chiddush of this Mishnah. Actually, the second Choresh is Choresh. What the definition is, Rashi hasn't told us. What are our thoughts here?
Is he being cryptic for specifically for a reason or no?
Well, Rashi is always short on words, right? The phrase that I learned is that Rashi wrote with golden ink, and that means two things, right? His ink was expensive, so you don't write so much, but it also means that his words carry a lot of meaning. There are more Rashis on this page, and there are more Rashis about Choresh. We should look at those Rashis before we try to figure out, you know, just to try to give us headway. And this is going to be the other reason for underlining. So underlining, first off, we've highlighted to ourselves the quick glance, like what is a very important additional comment that Rashi's made to our Gemara. Maybe I know the Gemara really well. And honestly, in my Gemara, I look through my Gemaras on the shelves, I rarely have underlines in the text of the Gemara itself. The text of the Gemara, I expect myself to know really well, but I have underlines in Rashi and Tosfos where they're, you know, in particular this line where he's moved away from just translating the Gemara to interpreting the Gemara. And that's what I'm underlining here. He's interpreting. Ashma Inan, he's interpreting. This is what the Mishnah is really teaching us. Right? I didn't have to say that. I could have given a different chat. I could have said, you know, the Mishnah is in the sequence because, so you know, socially, that's what they just happen to do in Israel. No, there's a halachic point here. There's a point of lundus. There's a point of defining the malacha of Choresh. So yeah, David, I'm with you on that. He's not being cryptic, but we haven't seen all of his words yet. I think that's the right way to say it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I like that. Yeah.
Okay. So let's go a little bit further in the Gemara. And, you know, we have Tanabari to Salakai, and there's a couple more lines here about planting seeds and pruning and planting trees. And planting is really not our malacha that we're discussing. We're discussing plowing. So let's go a little bit further to where we are. So let's see if I can actually lift the Gemara up without coloring on it. Nope, it didn't work. Wonder if there's no way to do this on the screen. Oh, here we go. Okay. So we're going to start Ve'achoresh, because this is the malacha that we're up to, and plowing, trying to figure out this malacha. So, Hachoresh, and plowing. So here we go. So Tana, I was taught in the Braisa. So there's a Tanaitic text parallel to our Mishnah. It's going to help explicate our Mishnah. But it says, Hachoresh, someone who plows, Ve'achofer, someone who digs, v'hachoreitz, someone who makes a furrow in the ground, kulan malacha achas hein. They are all one malacha. So what does that mean, they're all one malacha? That means that someone who violates them in succession is only going to be chayv one karban because they're doing the same thing over and over again. Let's see where we could find where we are in Rashi. Oopsies. That's the problem. Here we go. Hachoreitz. I'm right here in. Let's get my ruler up so I can see where we are. Oopsies. Can try to stop coloring on the Gemara. Here we go. Hachoreitz. Someone who digs a furrow. So Rashi just translates that. Osa charitz in bekarka. He makes furrows in the ground. A charitz is a common word in Shas. I mean a furrow. The verb of that choreitz is not a common word. So Rashi explains the uncommon word with the common word, even though it's the same shoresh. Next Rashi, malacha achas, they're all one malacha. So Rashi explains, eino chayev ela achas. You would only be chayev one karban. The person forgot it was Shabbos, or forgot this malacha was asar, and then did all of them in the same, in the same time frame of that forgetfulness, they'd only be obligated in one karban chatas. Right? Eino chayev ela achas. Then Rashi explains why the one malacha. Tikulu lirapuye ara avidi. They are all made, tikul, they're all done, avidi, they're all done, lirapuye ara, to soften the dirt. This is the key line. Rashi's defined the malacha of Choresh. And he's explained to us that the malacha is defined as softening dirt. That's the key definition. Softening dirt. So if we go back to where we were earlier on the page, I still have the underlines. And I have these two underlines here together. So something really great is happening here. The first Rashi, where Rashi explains that, oh, this Mishnah is teaching us that the second Choresh that comes after you put the seeds in is also Choresh. And then Rashi, we thought Rashi was kind of cryptic. He didn't yet tell us why it's also Choresh. But later on, the Gemara actually speaks about Choresh and says it's like Chofer and Choresh. There, Rashi tells us, why are they all the same? Because the Repuyara Vidi. Rashi is giving us the definition of Choresh right here. And even if it's a definition, it's going to be part of the same Malacha. So when we look at our page now, and I have these two lines underlined, the first on top and the second one on the bottom, I can quickly put together, and I'm reminded of the Chiddush, where that Chiddush comes from, where Rashi got that idea from. And I have it right here. I have that defined right here. And if I wanted to ask myself, had Rashi know that this is the definition, maybe Rashi should have given a different definition. Well, I could say, no, Rashi got that from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah's point of teaching the second Choresh, that's where this Chiddush comes from. So I can connect these two underlined pieces together in Rashi and realize that they are thematically connected to the definition of the Malacha. They are all Lirapuye Ara, and therefore they're all the same Malacha. Therefore, the second Choresh, even though the seed is already in the ground, that's irrelevant. The second Choresh is also a Malacha. Also a Malacha of Choresh. Any questions or comments so far? Here, let's go a little bit further in the Gemara, and we can see that the Gemara will, Rashi will double down on this interpretation. So let's see where we are. We just did this Braisa, Tana. So Braisa is a Tanaitic text. So I always remind my students that the Tanaitic text is going to be in Hebrew, not in Aramaic. And a Tanaitic text is almost always going to be a halacha. And when the Gemara switches back to Aramaic or in Amora speaking, then you know the Tanaitic text is over. And that's right here. I'm Rav Sheshes. So Rav Sheshes is an Amora.
What's the difference between Tana and Tanya?
Tana and Tanya. I don't know. I have to think about it.
Okay, no, I don't want to derail. I was just curious.
Yeah, I think I'm going to spend some more time thinking about that. Okay, so that's a good question. I'm Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes said, "Haisalo gav shushes." If there was a mound of dirt, unatala, and you dug it, you shoveled it away, you removed the mound of dirt from the ground, right? So there was a mound, I guess a bump or something, speed bump of dirt, and you removed it. So, babayas, if this was inside of your house, meaning a dirt floor inside of your house, and there was a bump and you shoveled it away, so chayav mishem bonet, that would be the malacha of bonet construction, because the floor is part of your house, so that would be the malacha of construction. But basada, if it was a field that you removed this pile of dirt from, chayav mishem choresh, that would be the malacha of choresh. So let's think about this. Moving dirt away from, and that's in a mound and spilling it away, we're saying if it's in the field, it's choresh. If it's in your house, it's not choresh. So it's interesting to think about that, maybe it could be both in your house. Maybe it should be you're softening the dirt, choresh and bone it. So let's see Rashi. Rashi says gavshushes, it's a strange word. Rashi tells us tal katan, a small mound. Babayas, so Rashi says babayas shayach binyan. In a house, it's relevant to talk about construction. So you would want to flatten, even out your floor, and that's your goal, that's bone. But in the field, it's mishem choresh, Rashi says, demar pe'ara, you're softening the dirt. So I would underline this line again, because it's Rashi, presenting his position one more time, right? That softening the dirt is the malacha of choresh. Great. Okay, let's go back into our Gemara, get some more context. Amar Rava, right? Rava taught a parallel halacha. Haisala guma. Let's say it wasn't a mound, but it was a hole. Haisala guma, there was a hole. Vitimama, and you filled the hole up with dirt. So babayas chayav mishem bonet. It's like a similar move. You filled out a hole in your floor, so you made your floor better. Bonet. Basada, in the field, it's chayav mishem choresh. You've packed dirt into that hole. It is choresh. So take a look at Rashi here. Guma v'timah, right? Until now, we've been thinking choresh was making a hole or softening dirt. Now we've discovered you could even have choresh by filling a hole. So Rashi says, guma v'timah, a hole, and you filled it up. So Rashi says, be'afar, you filled it up with dirt. And then Rashi says, hainu choresh. This is choresh. Again, this is what the Gemara says. Rashi's telling us. It is choresh sheh, because sheha afar shemila bo, the dirt that you shoveled and now are filling this hole with, havi roughly, it is soft. So there we know. It's the same shita. Let's underline it again. Right? Right? It is choresh. Hainu choresh. It is choresh. Shavar shemila bo. Havi rafui. It's soft. And then Rashi says two more words. Vitov lizria. And it's going to be good for planting. Vehesh velakarka. And it evens out the field. Lihios nizra im hasadas, that I can be sown, meaning with seeds, along with the rest of the field. Whoa, 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 whoa. I thought Rashi said that choresh is not priming a field to put seeds in it. Didn't Rashi say the second choresh is the choresh that's so pertinent because it's so pertinent for the Mishnah to teach us that, because the second choresh shows us that softening dirt is the malacha. Don't be focused on priming the field for seeds. Yet here, Rashi has kind of said that chedesh again, the afar is soft, and then is added these extra two words, v'tov v'zriya. And then Rashi says, and once the ground is flat, it's easy to sow the whole field together. So Rashi's now kind of almost like taking a tiny step back from his big chiddush before. And if we would have just had the two underlines before of softening dirt and softening dirt, we would miss something that's actually softening dirt in a context. Softening dirt in the context of things being planted in a field in which things can be planted. And so Tov Lizria, that Rashi says, is really important to understand that the softening of dirt is not itself the malacha of choresh, but it's the softening dirt in context of things growing. That's the malacha. And that's also, we can understand why softening the dirt inside your house is not the malacha of choresh, because, and let's see Rashi spell this out in the next line. We'll do one more line in the Gemara, and then it'll help us, I think, understand the next line in Rashi. Let's see what we got here. Okay, Amar Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba said, "Hachofer guma b'Shabbos." Someone digs a hole on Shabbos. Ve'en tzarech ha'lafra, and he doesn't want the hole at all. What he wants is a pile of dirt. He needs the dirt for something. Thoughts about that? That act, even though you've dug a hole, is actually completely butter. And this is interesting, a little complicated, and we could talk about this, but the Gemara says, Vafila Rabbi Yehuda, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who is stringent about malachos, the Amar, he says, malacha she'ina tricha lagufa chayav aleha, that if a malacha is done, but not for the purpose that it was done in the Mishkan, but for a different purpose, so it looks like digging a hole to get the dirt would be chayav, according to Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda's not here. But the Gemara says, hani mili, that's only true when it's mitake, when it's constructive. But hi, this hole you just dug, that is makalka. That hole is destructive. So let's see how this Gemara is meant to be understood, and let's look at Rashi. Rashi says, el la'afra, meaning he dug the hole, but he only wanted the dirt. Rashi explains, why would you want the dirt? L'chasos tzoa, classic. Little kid has an accident, dirt floor back in the day, you would just take a little bit of dirt and you would cover the accident. So if you did that, patar ala, you would be exempt. Rashi says, ve'en kan yisham binyan babayas. There's no bone in a house. You see, Rashi emphasizes that this case, this hole that's being dug is not outside. This hole being dug is inside your house. Dekilkol hu, it is destructive. Okay, so why isn't it? Well, okay, let's see. It's destructive, right? You don't now have a hole in your house. That's not helpful. Rashi adds a couple more lines. Says, "Ulazria nami lo chazia," and for planting seeds, this hole is not fit. Lo chazia, it's not fit. If you did need that hole for something, chayim mishim bone, it would in fact be the malacha bone. Why did Rashi add the phrase "Ulazria nami lo chazia"? Why did Rashi say that this hole is not fit for planting seeds. Nobody's planting seeds in their house. Why did you bring that up? The answer is that this is Rashi Lashitasa. This is Rashi's Shita through and through. Softening the dirt, creating a hole, is the malacha of Choresh, but only in the context in which one might theoretically plant, or plants might grow through this dirt when you soften up the dirt. But when you soften up the dirt or create a hole in your own house, nothing is growing in your own house. There's no sunlight. Presumably, hopefully, there's no water, you know, watering the ground. So the, a hole being made or softening the dirt in your own house, it's not shayach to talk, it's not relevant to talk about Choresh. The only malacha that's relevant to talk about is bona. And in this context, making a hole in your house is not the malacha of bona because it's not constructive. This is destructive. And that's what Rashi adds. Avam hayatzarach, if you would have needed it, chaya mishan bona. It would have been bona if you actually needed the hole. So there's a lot here that we learned today about the malacha of Choresh. We can sum up Rashi's position that Choresh is softening dirt in the context in which things might grow in that dirt. So maybe it is kind of like priming for the malacha of Zoraya, but not exclusively for the malacha of priming for planting seeds. It could also be after the seeds as well. As long as you're softening the dirt in the context of which things would grow, that's going to be the malacha of Choresh. And if we take stock of this Rashi, of you know the work that we've done underlining on this page, and we notice that there was a line earlier on in the Mishnah, we see right up here, we underline this line. This is where we first got an inkling about this position of Rashi. Rashi telling us there's a chiddush here, the second Choresh is the malacha of Choresh. And then we saw Rashi describe why all the other pieces are Choresh by saying they're all about softening the dirt. And then we saw Rashi develop that subsequently when he talks about filling up a hole with dirt and talking about Zoreya, and how a hole that's filled up with soft dirt is also Choresh because that ground is good for Zoreya. We understood to put some of these ideas together. It wasn't just softening the dirt, and it wasn't just preparing for Zoreya, but it's softening the dirt in the context of things that will grow. And that helped us understand the last point, which is that softening dirt inside your house is definitely not going to be Choresh because it's not the context in which things will grow. All right, I think our Gemara looks really beautiful. You know, you look at the you just glance the Gemara. There's a lot here on the page, but I could quickly see the Rashis here and put all the pieces together, and I could see what we've built, and I could see the work that we've done, and you know those key words Ashmi Inan, Repui Ara, softening the dirt, Zuya Nami Lochazia. I could put all these things together visually just by glancing the page, and you know the more we practice a skill like this, you know, looking to see what I should underline, and you know, if we are careful to review it with our children in the Gemara they actually use in school, you know, sometimes our children have a tendency to leave their Gemaras in school, but if they're bringing it home, and you know, we can look inside with them and see where they're focusing, where the theme is. If we see underlines in our children's Gemaras, we can ask them, you know, why was this line underlined? How does it, you know, what was Rebbe asking to do? Why did you choose to underline it? There's a lot here that can help in processing all the pieces together, and then afterwards in remembering all the pieces and how they can be put together. I'll stop the screen share, bring it back in together. I think this is a cool idea. I know maybe a little bit heavy and specific in this area of Hilchos Shabbos, but I think it's a good skill to practice. And if we see our children doing it and the Gemara some text from school, then we should ask them. We should ask them about it. Underlining is like it's a really, really great skill. I'm open to any questions on the program that I just used on the computer or comments about underlining or about Hilchos Shabbos, because maybe there's some questions in Hilchos Shabbos that have come up that you've thought of and wanted to address. I'm happy to take any questions about that topic as well. Well, it was really great to learn with you. The recordings are being saved. I'm going to kind of organize them and then send them out, because I know people tell me that they missed some recordings. I know there are a few people who are missing here tonight. Someone told me that they were too tired to come tonight. So yeah, Okay. All right, everybody have a great week.
Yeah, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. This was so great.
Okay, Julie. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Thank you.
Good night, David. Good night.